As we have gone through this Christmas time and the Christmas story, there's a portion of Scripture that comes right after the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ that I have never personally studied that much, but this year I studied it and it really blessed my heart. And I shared it yesterday in Greentall, and some of you are going to be are here that were in Greentall, and I just trust that if you're like me, the more I study it, the more it becomes real and alive. And I just trust that again, that God's word will speak to each one of us. And I have chosen to read Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 40. Luke chapter 2, from 21 to 40. If you have your Bibles with you, you can follow along. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up into his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rise again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, and the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Just trust that God will open his word to us, and that it will speak truth to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that today the word will speak that which you have sent it for. It is written for a purpose. And Lord, I want to thank you for how it has blessed my heart. And Lord, as we look at the people, at Simeon, at Anna, at Mary and Joseph, look at the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that today we will be able to draw truths and challenges out of this portion of Scripture, that we could go forward into the new year, and we can learn life lessons and your will for our lives. Lord, I pray that you will open your word and sanctify your servant. Lord, we often feel so inadequate to expound on your word, your precious word, and the depth of it, and the It involves the whole message of the gospel, which starts in Genesis to Revelations. And so we thank you, Lord. I pray that you will just help me. In Jesus' name, amen. After 8 days, after Jesus was born, we see that the days were accomplished, that circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, and was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When we think of our Lord Jesus coming in this world, the one that created heaven and earth came as a babe in human form, in the likeness of human flesh, being made of a woman, was made under the law, according to Galatians 4, verse 4. It says, but when the fullness of time was come, and we see that we are still in the dispensation of time, there will come a time where time will be no more. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. And I'd like us to notice that the word law is used 5 times in Luke 2 from verse 21 to 40. Though he came to deliver his people from the bondage of the law, Jesus was made under the law and obeyed its commands according to Galatians 4. If you read the first, we won't be able to go into all the scripture. Galatians 4, 1 to 7. And Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law, according to Matthew 5, 17 to 18, and 17 and 18. We read verse 21 in Luke chapter 2. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, they obeyed the law first by the child being circumcised, having him circumcised the 8th day. It was a sign of the covenant that God made with Abraham, if you read Genesis 17. And the Jews, they were very proud, a proud people to be God's covenant people. And they were ridiculing and scornfully called the Gentiles uncircumcised. If you study Ephesians chapter 2, it tells us very clearly in short that Jesus came. In Ephesians 2, that we are saved by grace through faith, and that the gospel went forth, and Jesus came to make the Jew and the Gentile one. The uncircumcised were alienated from God, and God sent Jesus that they would be brought back to God, that the enmity between God and man was destroyed through Jesus, and between the Jew and the Gentile, the circumcised and the uncircumcised. The religious Jews missed the point. True religion is a man who is righteous inward. God's true people who have been circumcised spiritually are people who have been circumcised in the heart. The sin cut out in their heart. Colossians 2:11 tells us, in who also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. It is through Christ that we have been able to do away with the sin in our heart. They've been atoned and paid for. So when 8 days were accomplished, they circumcised him. Though it was a painful ordeal, the parents were obeying the law. Though it made him look like a sinner, that he was just like someone else, yet he submitted to it. Romans 8 says, not only came he in the flesh, but in the likeness of flesh, of sinful flesh. And if we think of Jesus, the creator of all the universe, he came and he obeyed the law. In obedience to the Lord, Mary and Joseph gave him the name Jesus. Just like the angel. Isn't it amazing? You read that the angel announced that to Joseph and to Mary, you're going to have a son and his name will be called Jesus. And here they come, 8 days after, and just like it was announced by the angel, Mary and Joseph, they name him Jesus. If we read verse 22, they continued obeying the law. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. 40 days after, Mary and Joseph came to the temple for the purification, as described in Leviticus 12. And we won't be able to go there, but I studied it. It's an amazing how the law, and they fulfilled the law. They obeyed the law. They also had to redeem him, the boy, since he was Mary's firstborn. In Numbers 18, you will read that he had to be redeemed, and they had to pay 5 shekels to redeem the one who would redeem us. And my friends, we read in 1 Peter, if you have your Bibles with you, 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. First Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. They had to redeem with money the one that came to redeem us with his precious blood. Verse 24, it says, and then they continued in obedience to the law, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of two turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. The law of Moses required the mother to bring her offerings. If she had the ability, she was required to bring a lamb for the burnt offering and a dove for the sin offering. But being poor, she brings her pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. My friends, Jesus was not conceived and born in sin as we are born, or were born and are born today. Yet, because he was made under the law, he complied with it. Jesus, we see that he was baptized by John the Baptist. In Matthew 3, if you turn with me to Matthew 3, verse 15. Matthew 3, I'll start at verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Why would you, Jesus, come to me? In verse 15 it says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness, or to complete all righteousness. And then he suffered him, or permitted him to be baptized. And then Jesus, when he was baptized, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus, sinless, yet he came as an example. He was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. He came to fulfill the law. Jesus' relationship to the law and his is very important to the part of his saving ministry. If you read in Galatians 4, verse 4, he was made under the law. Simeon and Anna, like Zacharias and Elizabeth, were part of a faithful remnant, eagerly waiting their Messiah. When we think of the time from Malachi to the New Testament, God has always had a remnant people. When I think of a remnant, and I think of the early church, I think in Acts, when the early church started, there was not that many, I believe just over 100 people. When Jesus had ascended, and Mary was there, God has had a remnant people. And it's my prayer that when we think of the new year, and the Lord has given us this time, and I would encourage you, fathers, first of all and foremost, that you will lead your families into the future fearing God. As we will see how Simeon had waited so long. You know, sometimes you might go through a dry spell in your life, but we must continue like Simeon did. If you read verse 25, it says, "And behold, when they did all these things, they were obedient to the law." It says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem." You know, when I read that, I'm reminded of our life, my life, that the Lord could say, "Yes, there was a man," or "There was men and women in Warman for a different purpose than what Simeon was, but Simeon was there for a special purpose." It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man," and this is what I want to get at, "was just and devout." That's a high calling for each one of you. Waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Isn't that amazing? I think we're all challenged by that verse. If we could only take that verse and study it, and how Simeon, he was just, justified, righteous before God. What is our status like? I trust that we are, and that we are a people that's just and devout, waiting. Here in this case, Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and we are waiting for the Lord's return, for the rapture of the church. We are waiting for the time where we will see Jesus face to face as he is. Even though Jesus, Mary, and Joseph humbled themselves and brought Jesus into the temple to do according to the law, he was humbled. Yet we see through Simeon and Anna, he received honor. This Simeon, he dwelt at Jerusalem. He was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. We see that he came by the Spirit into the temple. And that is the key for us to recognize here. We so often walk on our own. But Simeon was brought into the temple. The Holy Ghost was with him. We read it later. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. That we are going to be led in the Spirit in the new year. Direction from the Holy Spirit to go to the temple just at the right time. When Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus. Because Simeon was told that he would see the consolation or the salvation or the Lord's Christ. For the consolation, for the comfort of Israel. If you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40, the consolation of Israel. And Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2. It says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, cry unto her that her warfare is against, or is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for her sins. The comfort of Israel. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The help for the nation of Israel. The deliverance of the nation of Israel. The deliverance from sin. And the blessing that the land that wasn't theirs yet. Deliverance from sin. The consolation, the comfort. And if you read Isaiah, it's full of those kind of verses. And that's what Simeon, the remnant, part of the remnant people, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. One of the traditional Jewish prayers, I'm told, is saying, may I see the consolation of Israel. This prayer was answered for Simeon when he saw Jesus Christ in the temple. He was a man that was led by the Spirit of God, taught by the Word of God. He knew His Word, and he was obedient to the will of God. Again, a great teaching for us, led by the Spirit of God, taught by the Word of God, and he was obedient to the will of God. And here we read, he was blessed to see the salvation of God. Very important. For each one of us today, that we people experience God's offer of salvation through Jesus Christ and believe it before death. Here we see Simeon, I believe he was an old man, and once he had seen it, it says in verse 27, it says, he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, all those things that were, he was made under the law, they did those things. Then he, Simeon, took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now I have seen. Let thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. You know, experiencing salvation, experiencing seeing Jesus. Here he then was willing to die because it says later, for my eyes have seen salvation which thou hast prepared before the face of the people. In verse 26 it says, And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And once he had seen the Lord's Christ, he was, now I have seen your salvation, let me depart in peace according to thy word. Simeon knew that he would not die till he would see salvation or the Lord's Christ. And the consolation of Israel. And so, once he had seen that, he was ready. He said, "Let me depart." And he was praising and worshiping God. And I pray and I trust that each one of us will again through this Christmas season, this time of reflecting on what Jesus has done for us, we will be filled and be thankful for what Jesus has done for us. My friends, we have been redeemed from the eternal damnation. And that should cause us to be ready to die. Paul says, it doesn't just take away the sting of death. Jesus doesn't just take away the sting of death, but he says it's gain. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And that's a challenge that I would encourage each one of you to memorize and take with you into the new year. For me to live is Christ. Is it truly Christ to live? Is that really your priority? And to die is gain. Can we truly say that? Like Simeon. If we continue in verse 29, it says, the Lord, and he responds, and he says, "Lord, now lettest thou only thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou preparest before the face of all the people, and a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." We find Simeon responding to seeing Jesus. Number one, it is a worship. As Simeon blesses God for keeping his promise and sending the Messiah, he joyfully praises God that he has been privileged to see the Lord's Christ. The Holy Ghost was upon him, not only in the spirit of holiness, but also in the spirit of prophecy. When I think of that he was blessed and he rejoiced to see the Lord's promises, and I trust that we will someday, or even in this life, and when we study the promises of God, the Bible is full of promises, but there will come a time when we will see Jesus face to face. Will we then, I trust that we will be look back and say that the Lord has been faithful. He kept his promise. He cannot break his promise. Simeon is promised that he should not see death till he had seen Christ. We know that because God's word, as we read, declared it. How peaceful death is to a man that has experienced Jesus as Savior. Peace with God, peace with his own conscience, knowing that he's been redeemed, and peace with death. This salvation is a blessing to the world. As we read in verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles, the unbelievers, and the glory of thy people Israel. That refers to Isaiah 49, verse 6 and 7. When Christ ordered his apostles to preach the gospel to all nations, and we know that's in the Great Commission, in that he made himself a light to lighten the Gentile. A light in a dark world. And he then added, beginning at Jerusalem, he made himself the glory of his people Israel. The Jew and the Gentile, the circumcised and the uncircumcised. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." we need to see the compassion that Jesus had for the whole world. As we read in Luke, that's one of Luke's major themes, the compassion that Jesus had for the world. Then when we continue in verse 33 to 35, it says, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set before a fall and a rise again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts be revealed." Simeon here, we see from verse 29 to 32, Simeon was praising God. And here he stopped praising and started prophesying. He starts telling Mary and Joseph what's going to happen. He blessed them, especially Mary and the child. This Messiah would be rejected, a cornerstone that would be rejected, as you read in Psalms 18, verse 22, and 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 9, which the builders rejected. And the nation of Israel would stumble over, according to Isaiah 8, verse 14, and Romans 9, 32. Because of Jesus, many in Israel would fall in conviction and then rise to salvation. Even today, people stumble over the cross, as we read in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23. To some, it's a stumbling block. The word sign here, that this child will be a sign or a miracle, it is a demonstration of truth. Jesus' miracles in John's gospel are called signs because they reveal and speak truth about him. Jesus Christ is God's miracle, and yet, instead of admiring him, here Simeon blessed the Lord, and he was praising God that he had seen salvation. But the people, when Jesus grew older, they attacked him, they spoke against him, and they still do it today. And you read that in John chapter 8, verses 41 and 42. They said his miracles were done in the power of Satan. According to John 8, verse 48 and 52. They lied about his resurrection, Matthew 27. And today people speak against his coming again, according to 2 Peter. I just want to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 3. Know this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, or evil desires, we might say, saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. What an amazing sin, we might say. Willingly. They willingly reject the truth. And they say, where is his coming? My friends, Jesus has said that he is coming again. He's going to rapture his church, and he will. And he says in verse 8, But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day, meaning the past, the present, and the future are always before him. Then in verse 9 it says, The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And we see that in Simeon's life. He was promised that he would see salvation, and the promise was fulfilled. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What manner of persons ought you to be? We are to be looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we believers, according to his promise, we look for the new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So often in this life, we live carelessly. We just aren't diligent like we ought to be. It's my prayer that as we go into the new year, that we will be diligent. The way you speak of Jesus Christ is evidence, or even the way you think of him, is evidence of what is in your heart. In Matthew 22, verse 42, Jesus asks, "What say ye? What do you think of Jesus? Whose son is he? How do you think of Jesus? What does Jesus mean to you?" I believe that is a very important question that we all must answer. And if we take verse 35 in chapter or Luke 2, the sword was for Mary. It spoke of suffering and sorrow that she would bear as a mother. He prophesied that. He stopped praising and then he prophesied, Simeon prophesied, that he would bear a sword as the mother of the Messiah. And during Jesus' ministry or life and ministry, Mary experienced more and more sorrow. As a mother watching the son grow and being rejected, and one day, Jesus was crucified, and Mary stood at the cross and saw him suffering and die for you and for me. Mary's pain that I'm talking about, I want us to know that is not part of Christ's redeeming work. Only Jesus could die for our sins. The sinless Lamb of God. The Son that was born of a virgin. I'd like to just read three verses out of Luke 2. One is Luke 2, verse 19. And I want us to think of these verses. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, as this is after Jesus was a little older. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Here we see that Mary and Joseph were trying to make sense out of all this that was told them. And I believe that there's a good lesson in those verses for us, even going into the new year. Mary wanted to understand what the Lord was doing. I would encourage you, when you look back in the year 2017 and further on in your life, there's certain things that the Lord has allowed. There's certain things that have come your way in a personal level. There's certain things that have come to the church, at a church level, the body of Christ. I think it's time that we sit down and we ponder some of those things that the Lord is trying to tell us, each one personally. I believe there's a great lesson in that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She was thinking, Lord, what are you teaching me? We are so full of self. We don't take time to sit and listen to what God has for us. Mary sought to understand God's will. And it's my prayer that each one of you will seek to understand the Lord's will. And the last, when we think of Mary, we see Mary, or we hear her last in Acts chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. And I just want to read those verses in Acts chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. It says, and those all continued after Jesus, her son, had ascended. The Son of God had ascended into heaven. The people went back to Jerusalem. And in verse 14 it says, and these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And then in verse 15 it says, in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. The remnant people and the church, God is building his church. We know that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. It is my prayer that you, each one of you, will be part of the church. That you are going to be living stones. You know, think of Anna's name means grace. A godly widow of age, older. And you know, a widow in that day didn't necessarily have an easy time. They were often neglected, as we read in Scripture, that they had been neglected and they needed help. But Anna devoted herself to serving God, worshiping through fasting and prayer, night and day. Let's learn from Simeon to be patient, to wait for the Lord's promise, to be faithful. Let's learn from Anna that we can worship through fasting and prayer wherever we are. God's timing. Anna came just as Simeon was praising the Lord. In verse 37, I'll just turn to Luke again. Luke 2, verse 37 says, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, when Simeon was praising and blessing Jesus, she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake often with him. And she did her job, she continued, and spake often with him, or spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Another thing that I would like to encourage us for the new year, let's learn to give thanks more. So often it comes over our lips. I just have to look at myself. We grumble and we are such a blessed people. Let's be thankful, like Anna. And we know what the Scripture says about being thankful. We need to regard God as God, and we need to be a thankful people. Or we read in Romans 8, if we think we don't need God, and we see that so often in the world, or so much around us, they feel they can live a life without God, as if there is no God. It's my prayer that we will believe the promises. She, Anna, she was then praising and thanking God, and she spread the good news among those that were around her, who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. The more you read, the more you understand, the more you experience in the heart, the more we share with others. It's my prayer that you will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, and that you will be spiritually fed, that you will be equipped to go into the world and share Jesus with others. I just want to close with Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and 24. Jeremiah 9, verse 23, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Let's glory in that we understand and we know Jesus, and that we are going to be like Simeon. "Lord, now I have seen your salvation. I've experienced it." And that he blessed the Lord, he was thankful, and then he had peace to depart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this morning at the close of a service where we have again, through Christmas, been reminded of the birth and the written word. There's so many details for a purpose, Lord, and it blesses our heart as we glean from the Word of God, as we look at people that were faithful, Lord, that we can learn from. Simeon, how he waited, because it was promised him, and he waited, and when he had seen the salvation of the Lord, he was ready to depart. And Lord, I just pray that we will live our lives in such a way that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and that we will carry on till you come again or call us home. We see again just yesterday at the close of the year 2017, you called a dear sister home. So we know that, but Lord, today we don't have to mourn as those who have no hope. Lord, we are just thankful that you have promised that there's life after death. And like Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Lord, may be that our motto for the year. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Lord, I pray that you will bless each one. Lord, that you will shower us with your blessings. And having said that, that doesn't mean just with the natural things that make us happy. But Lord, I pray that your blessings are peace, joy, goodness, patience, kindness. Lord, all the fruits of the Spirit, I pray for your people, Lord. We commend them or commit them into your care, Lord, as shepherds, under shepherds of the sheep. We pray for the church. Lord, that we will be able to stay true to the word. Lord, we see very clear that there's false teachings all around us, and that we will have to be more diligent to study the truth and know the truth, because we know that the truth will set us free. And Lord, what a blessing to be free. Lord, we just pray for our young people, Lord, as they go into the world, that they will be strong young men and women of faith. Lord, that like Anna, she for years was in the temple, fasting and praying, and was a light for those around her. And so we just pray, Lord, that we will take all those things that have come our way, those that are from you, those that Satan has put in front of us and has tempted us with and has tormented us with, Lord, we claim the blood of Christ. I pray that we will be protected by the blood of Christ, that we do not go back there. But those things that you have allowed and are speaking to us about, nudging us, shaping us and molding us, and through the Word, through the Spirit, I pray, Lord, that we will take time to ponder, to make sense of what you're teaching us, that we will be faithful, Lord. I pray your blessing upon the service, that the word will have fallen on good ground, and that it will accomplish in your heart, in the hearts of your people, that which you have sent it for. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to thank you all for coming. It is my prayer that you will have a blessed 2018. As we reflect on 2017, I trust that each one of us would say that the Lord has been very, very gracious to us. He has given us time, and his mercy and his grace is new every day. And I just would be my prayer for us that God will have his way with us in 2018, and that we will live in the Spirit and also walk in the Spirit, like Simeon did. So from our family and my wife and myself, we would just want to wish you God's richest blessing. And the benediction, as we read in Hebrews 13, verses 20, now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You may depart with God's blessings.